All eyes will be on the markets when they reopen today after a series of drone strikes at the weekend halted production in Saudi Arabia. And as geopolitical risks continue to stack up, Australia's economic health is resting ever more heavily on the strength of the domestic jobs market. Now, while full while unemployment has drifted higher over recent months, it remains close to the 5% level that used to be considered full employment. Michael Yander is our regular Monday finance commentator. He's here with me this morning. Good morning to you.
Morning, Hamish.
We'll get to the Saudi issue in a moment, the impact here. But the Bureau of Statistics will release the latest employment figures this week. What can we expect?
Well, look, these are crucial for the health of the economy, Hamish. And economists are generally tipping a big drop-off in jobs growth in the month of August and a small rise in the unemployment rate. Last month's release showed more than 40,000 jobs were created in Australia in July. On Thursday, most economists are expecting the figures to show that 10,000 jobs were added in August, a big drop-off. That's not enough to keep up with the growing population of working-aged people, and so unemployment is expected to tick higher from 5.2% to 5.3%. Job website Indeed's Asia-Pacific economist Callum Pickering says he also expects the jobless rate to rise, but not dramatically.
There's some scope for the unemployment rate to continue to drift upwards at a gradual rate. My official forecast is 5.3% unemployment. I think at the moment, unless something significantly changes with regards to the labour market, I don't see the unemployment rate drifting much above 5.4%, maybe 5.5% over the next 12 to 18 months.
That's Callum Pickering from Indeed. Now, this isn't a bad unemployment rate, 5.3%, 5.2% currently. Of course, as you mentioned, 5% used to be considered full employment, but the Reserve Bank now wants to get unemployment down to 4.5% to try and boost wages growth, which has been anemic. And that target, as the Reserve Bank itself has admitted, is looking a long way off and increasingly further away.
Is that because the definition of what constitutes a job has changed so dramatically?
In part, I think it's the Reserve Bank terms it in terms of labour market flexibility. There's an increase in participation, but a lot of that participation is people working a couple of part-time jobs rather than a single full-time job.
For extra hours or whatever.
And for not much pay in many cases.
The construction sector has been a huge source of jobs growth during the mining and then housing booms, but that now looks like reversing.
Yes, so Hamish, it's already been a pretty big factor in the small rise we've seen in the unemployment rate. The real estate and residential building downturn has meant that property-related jobs have been some of the weakest employment sectors. Callum Pickering has analysed the job ads on Indeed's platform and expects the construction sector will continue shedding jobs.
Construction job postings are down around 35% from their peak back in December 2017. This is beginning to flow through to employment. Employment in construction is down around 15,000 over the past year, with construction now accounting for around 9.1% of employment compared with 9.5% early last year. We'd expect this weakness in construction job postings to continue to feed through to lower construction employment over the next 12 to 18 months.
If you can put some numbers around that, what is the scale of employment in the construction sector and what kind of drop-off in employment are we seeing in terms of numbers of jobs?
The construction sector is our third biggest employer. Currently employs almost 1.2 million Australians. And we have seen a decline in employment by around 15,000 over the past 12 months. It was one of our weakest industries in terms of employment growth over the past 12 months. And certainly it looks like that's likely to continue. So it wouldn't surprise me if we did see another 15,000-20,000 construction jobs lost over the next year or so.
That's Indeed's Asia-Pacific economist Callum Pickering again. Now, the positive from Callum's research, Hamish, is that he finds most construction workers have relatively transferable skills. They can engage in maintenance work, painting, basic engineering work and other skilled and semi-skilled manual tasks. And state governments, particularly in the southeast of Australia, are trying to kill two birds with one stone by building huge amounts of public transport infrastructure, both to relieve congestion and also soak up some of those now unemployed residential construction workers. But it isn't all good news. Residential construction is much more labour intensive than engineering construction, so there might be a shortfall in the jobs that those public infrastructure projects can create. And even if the real estate market is now finding a bottom in terms of prices, if there is an uptick in development approvals, that's still likely to take a year or two for those approvals to flow through into actual building work.
We're talking a lot here in Australia about the Reserve Bank and the broader economic outlook, but that's sort of becoming a global feature, central banks playing a big part in the economic outlook. And this week it'll be the US Federal Reserve that sort of steals the show.
That's right, Hamish. Last week, of course, it was the European Central Bank cutting deposit rates from minus 0.4 to minus 0.5% that had the headlines, resuming a 20 billion euro a month quantitative easing program. That move was slightly more aggressive than analysts had dared hope for, and it also prompted the US President Donald Trump to launch a broadside against his own Federal Reserve for not having negative interest rates itself. Mr. Trump is likely to remain disappointed when the US Federal Reserve meets this week, though. While the Fed is almost certain to cut rates when its decision comes out on Thursday morning our time, markets rate it an 84% chance there will be a cut, but that cut is likely to be only 25 basis points, which will take the US benchmark rate just below 2%, which of course, Hamish, is a long way from negative rates. Locally, our own Reserve Bank releases minutes from its latest meeting on Tuesday, and we'll get a hint of its thoughts about the direction of interest rates here.
I suspect we might be planning a segment on negative interest rates pretty soon. How much of a risk is this attack in Saudi Arabia on oil production to the stimulus policies globally?
Well, look, everyone's expecting a big spike in crude oil prices when markets in Asia open later this morning. The benchmark Brent crude price is currently sitting around $62 a barrel. The big question is how high the spike will be and for how long. Now, crude oil prices were in the mid-$80 range late last year for a few months, but if they rise to those kind of levels and stay there for the rest of this year and into 2020, if the threat of drone attacks and other disruptions remain, then that will put upward pressure on inflation. Now, the danger is that we get something akin to the oil shock of the 1970s, where weak global growth is combined with rising inflation due to higher global oil prices. And it's not the kind of inflation that central banks have been trying to get. They want activity-driven inflation, where increased demand drives prices higher, rather than supply shortage inflation, where the lack of an essential product like oil drives prices higher for that and feeds through to the rest of the supply chain and also further dents economic activity, because of course oil is essential for transport and production.
And briefly, the financial markets resuming trade this morning, what are we expecting?
Look, because the attack happened over the weekend, we haven't had any trade to go off as to how big that spike is going to be, but oil prices will jump significantly. That's likely to be good news for energy stocks in the Australian market, but maybe bad news for stocks more broadly if risk aversion takes hold. The futures were down 0.1%, but that was before the attack. The Australian dollar is trading. It's pretty steady at 68.64 US cents.
Thank you very much, Michael Yonder.